shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, welcome. Father Anthony, your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, borrowing those words, as always, from St. John, as he opens the book of Revelation, coming to you on this, Monday?
Yes.
A good Monday to everybody. We're the second week of Advent, so we're moving towards the midpoint of the season of Advent, and it's, what is it out there? What's it doing out there, Jerry?
It's very creepy out there.
Creepy?
It's creepy weather.
What's creepy about
it? It's raining.
It
looks like it's nighttime, but it's brighter than nighttime. It's very strange.
It is a little creepy. I guess that's a good word.
Creepy.
Just flew in a little while ago, too, you know, and but a little bit of rain, a little bit of snow, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
A threat of ice, which never happened, fortunately,
yeah.
But
yes. Yeah, and everything is a little bit of fog, it seems like, too. I don't know. So
very foggy.
It does. That creepy is a
Happy
good word
Monday.
For it, so anyway. Well, how are you doing, Christina?
Fine? Oh, you know how much I love Mondays.
Yeah, I guess everybody does, don't they? Is that the blue day, Monday, or is that Wednesday?
See, they don't bother me anymore.
They don't?
No.
Good for you.
I don't work.
Oh, there you go. Well,
that makes a big difference,
life
right?
Life is work.
Oh, I know
everybody
that.
Works. That's why I don't like Mondays and Fridays are busy. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah. What's a blue day, though? What do they call the blue day?
I think Monday is what they referred to.
Monday
it, yeah.
Blues. And then Wednesday is the...
Hump day.
And Good Friday.
I love Fridays. Anticipation of the weekend.
Yeah, so anyway. And Tony's on his way, I suppose.
He just...
he's in route.
He and Santa Claus.
In route or in route?
In route.
In route. In route.
He's outside. Well, okay. After the first break.
Go fetch him. No, so go ahead and fetch him.
You have to wait, Tony.
No, go fetch him. go fetch Tony.
Fetch.
No, don't leave him out there.
No, well, he sent me up.
If he's
every
out
day
waiting.
For Tony. You're listening, Tony? Can you hear me now?
Anyway, Nick, how are you doing? How was your feast day?
It worked out good. I went shopping with my mom and a friend of mine, and then I had to work later on in the evening.
Yeah.
And it was a nice day on Saturday, fast, and I got home pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Then yesterday was good, too. And today I just came from the aqua-sized brunch that we do for the Y over at a restaurant that's nearby my house.
Wow.
Where the ladies show their appreciation for me and the other instructors.
Nice.
By going to brunch/breakfast/lunch with them. And we do that every year like this.
Oh, good. Like for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice.
It's their way of appreciation for us teaching their classes.
Yeah.
And it worked out nicely.
Very
but
nice.
Unfortunately, because I had to get down here, I had to keep it short. But it worked out. And they gave me a nice Christmas card, which I have yet to open.
Okay.
I have a pretty idea what's in there.
Good.
But also, I thanked them for it, and hopefully they're listening, because I told them to listen into the show, because they like to hear what you guys have to say, as well as that this is a talk
program, I thought it was
too.
The Nick Show.
It is the Nick Show.
It's Nick at Noon.
Nick at Noon.
There you go. There you go.
Anyway, happy feast day. I saw the deacon yesterday I mentioned, because his name is Nick as well.
That's right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, so I wished him a happy feast day as well, but we had it was a busy weekend. It wasn't supposed to be, but it was.
It was.
We had a big celebration yesterday, of course, in anticipation of the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is on Friday. Today, of course, is what? The feast of the Immaculate
Conception.
So we already had Mass this morning. We'll have another Mass here this evening. Mass is celebrated. It's a holy day of obligation. And so we're midway. So we had this the celebration, Guadalupe celebration.
It was nice.
In anticipation of the feast day, because the feast day, of course, we have the Las Mañanitas at 5 o'clock, and then we have the the Mass, well, in the morning, then the Mass in the evening as well.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Especially getting up early. You're,
yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, see, for me, it's no problem because I'm up and about.
You're right, yeah, you're a morning person. Yeah.
So I'm not a morning person. I'm not an evening person. I don't know what I am. So
you're an all day person.
All day person. But anyway,
you're not a late person. No. Not that.
But you went to the celebration. Yeah, Nick. Oh, what is it?
The Christmas card I just opened up. I was telling you about, and it's got the Grinch on there. But it says, "When I think of you at Christmas time," and you opened it up. It says, "My heart grows three sizes."
Oh,
and
nice!
Everybody signed it on the inside. Wow. So thank you all if you're listening.
Very nice. Lots of signatures. I can see that's a lot of people there.
Yep, we have a large group of people.
Very nice.
They love it.
He's got an enlarged heart, doesn't he?
Yes, big heart.
The big heart.
We all knew that. So, anyway. You were at the celebration. They had the dancers, and they did a
beautiful job.
Recitation of the story, or the they didn't actually do the drama. I don't think, did they?
No, not. They just went over. They
told the story.
They narrated the story.
Yes. So I was there. There were two celebrations. One was right after the 10 o'clock Mass in English, and then we went back. Then I went after the 11:30 Mass, but I was swamped with.
It was crowded.
There's a lot of people. Well, they're very wise to include the students from the catechism because they're involved, and so that brings the parents out and the family members.
That's good.
And all that. So it was really a nice celebration. And then you know what was interesting? How God works in mysterious ways, right? Because I was there, and there was something just would tell me I have to leave. I've got to come away from there. So I didn't stay for the whole thing. And I came back, and I, especially in the afternoon, I try to stay away from the internet, you know, emails and all that, because it's been a full day, and so I try to use that as a time just to kind of recoup a little bit, relax a little bit before the evening Mass. So I've only had a couple of hours there. And so I came, I left the celebration and came back, and I, for whatever reason, went into the emails, and our deacon, his wife, Nydia's mother, had been taken to the emergency room. So they were looking, they wanted a priest for the anointing, you know. So I thought, you know, how God, there's something inside me said, you know, leave this place. Leave this.
That's your guardian angel.
Maybe, huh? I don't know. Very interesting.
It's just God's way.
So we want to pray for her name, Julia Cortez. So she was in the emergency room. She's 91 years old. 91. Wow. Years old, so, and very, very feisty, you know.
Yes,
very feisty.
I know the type.
Strong.
She's that generation, very
strong.
Very strong. Yes. You know.
You know how they say, like when they, I'm not trying to compare people to objects or you know furniture, but you know how they say that they don't make the furniture like they used to.
Exactly.
People
yeah.
back then were strong like yeah. the you know.
Yeah.
They withstand many things.
Exactly. Anyway, so we want to pray for her and then for just anybody and everybody. So today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Maybe we'll go right in. Well, before I do that, let's see here. And it has been a crazy morning today.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh, then I have to mention this because I thought it was so interesting. I mentioned this at the Mass yesterday about the power of the rosary. This is a Marian feast, so this is would be appropriate to speak about this on this feast day. But I was really speaking about it in the context of the Anawim, the little flock in Advent. It's an image that stays with me, that little flock of believers. You know, many go astray, many might be indifferent or whatever, but there are those who remain faithful, who really live each day. They put attention to God, to the things of God. They try to follow the little way of Saint Therese, you know, that little way. I bring that up because I also brought that up yesterday at the Mass. But anyway, so I had my homily prepared for the Sunday Masses and what I was going to say. And we went into the 7:30 Mass and everything just changed because I saw the family of Maria and Mirtha. Gonzalez, I think it was Gonzalez. Ramos. The family. And I don't know if you remember, because I mentioned this a year ago, but also I wanted to mention Richard Kukla, because it was, who passed away last week. His funeral is going to be tomorrow. And So they were there. So Phyllis, Richard's sister, was there, and of course the family of Maria and Mirtha Ramos. And it made me think about immediately the power of the rosary, you know. And keep in mind, you know, when we pray the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria, this is a prayer: Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Right? And so and of course, today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Mary, full of grace. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I was very conscious of the family, both Phyllis and Ernie, Richard's sister. Richard was in his 80s, I think early 80s, when he died, when he passed on. And then, of course, the Ramos family. But the beautiful, if you remember last year, I had to have spoken about it last year because it was so, it was one of these precious things, you know, that, you know, through the eye, to have the faith of a child to be able to see, right? And so the mother, Maria and her husband, prayed the rosary every day, the 10 children, and one of them was a special child. I don't know. It wasn't. She didn't have Down syndrome, but she was always a child. Mm, she was always a child, and so she was probably in her 40s, maybe probably mid to late 40s. I don't remember, but anyway, one of 10, and so naturally, very very close to the mother. The mother very close to the child, this perpetual child who kept and life always revolves around, in a sense, or I shouldn't say revolves, but it's just these children, adults who are children, keep us always conscious of the innocence of life and the beauty of life and the simplicity of life, you know, the little things, right? The beautiful things that we so often, we get sidetracked, we get distracted, we forget. But anyway, the mother had been sick. She was coming to the end of her life, and she told Mirtha, her daughter, she said, you know, I'm taking you with me, you know? And she says, no, she says, I want to stay here with my brothers and sisters, right?
Yes.
She says, no, but she says, I'm bringing you with me. And she says, no, I want to stay here with my brothers and sisters.
So anyway, war there.
So Maria died, the mother died, and 40 days later, which is a biblical number.
Yes.
40 days later, unexpectedly, Mirtha died. Just peacefully died in her sleep. And I remember going to the house and, you know, she was in the repose of death and she had Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse alongside her.
That's cute.
And yes. She had her CD of the Jackson 5 because they said she would listen to that every day. And
that's cute.
But it was very hard for the family, but I thought, wow, isn't that the mother... It really brought her home.
Yeah, that's interesting, Father, because you know, in the Hispanic culture, when a woman has a child, they always wait like 40 days after.
Right.
That's when they take the child out and bring them to church, sort of for a blessing, 40 days after.
Right. Now, that's another interesting point that I didn't make, because I was looking at the 40 days as the 40-day Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. Mm-hmm. The Israelites were 40 years. They made their journey through the desert to the promised land. Noah and the flood, the 40-day rain that cleansed the earth, you know. So I was thinking more in terms of that. And so I mentioned one of the masses that 40 days, that she was without her mother for 40 days, was very close to her mother. And it also gave the other siblings a 40-day period to kind of deal with the mother's death before they had to say goodbye to their sister, right? But this is even more powerful, that, right, the 40-day, because Jesus was presented in the temple. Joseph and Mary brought Jesus, the Blessed Virgin brought Jesus to the temple 40 days.
Days after.
That's right, the presentation.
So that's where they get that tradition from the church.
Wow, Latinos are. Wow, that's interesting.
Yes, it just clicked right now, Father.
Yeah.
I've we're aware of it, but then it just sometimes
No, that's I got to tell the family that because I was thinking more on that. But yeah, but we know it is a biblical number.
Sure.
So
yes.
And even the 40. So absolutely, I didn't think that image didn't come to my mind.
Yeah.
So anyway, that. But the point being is that these were simple people. The mother, very humble, very simple, old school, like Julia Cortes, you know, 91 years old. And from Puerto Rico as well, the Ramos family, the Puerto Ricans as well, and just this old the old faith of those, you know, that simple, the humble, the Anawim. Yes. I call it the Anawim. The Bible calls them the Anawim. As the Pope said last week, you know, there are many saints among us. I'm not canonizing anybody here, but I'm just saying that it's we can't turn a blind eye to the simple, because it's not those who are out there making a lot of noise.
No, it's the simple.
But it's those who are in a very simple way living the faith from one day to the next, faithful to prayer, faithful to the family, faithful to life. You know, they're humble. They don't cause anybody any problems.
And the world looks at them like insignificant, but they're not. It's the other way.
Just turns a blind eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that, you know, God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. There's this, for all the struggles in life, you know. But now the other interesting thing was Richard Kukla, who had, he's been in the hospital for 5 months, maybe more. He had taken a fall. Mm-hmm. Very simple man as well. Very, very simple man. He would come to Mass. He would come to the concerts. Yolanda was talking about how she used to see him walking, you know, taking his walk to the store, you know, but a very humble, very simple man. And his sister, Phyllis, who I know prays the rosary all the time, because I see her pray the rosary all the time. She prays the rosary, very devoted to Our Lady. And so Richard died this past Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. But I talked to his sister, Thursday or Friday, because the funeral's tomorrow. And she said, you know, she said, when we came back home from the hospital after he passed on very peacefully, she was, you know, you go through this people's things, you know, their belongings, looking at pictures and all that. And they found his baptismal certificate. And she said, oh, my gosh, she said to her husband, Ernie, Richard died on the day of his baptism, same day as his baptism.
Yes.
So it's
not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence.
None of this is a coincidence.
Not a coincidence. I'd mentioned once before the Monsignor Crowe, the old Irish Monsignor from from Ireland. You know, he founded and built the Church of St. Dominic's in Panama City in Florida, where my family goes, actually. And he was there. He must have been there 40 years, you know.
Wow.
But he died on the feast of St. Dominic, you know. And of course, St. Dominic is associated with the rosary, the tradition, the legend is that Our Lady gave him or taught him or showed him, you know, the prayer of the rosary, and that it should be, because it really is probably the most popular prayer of the symbol, because it is even those who can't read, when they pray the rosary there, they immerse themselves in the gospel story. So you've got the joys and the glories and the sorrows and the life of Jesus and Mary. You've got the two primary mysteries, the mysteries of our faith, as we're preparing to celebrate the Feast of the Incarnation, God became flesh, and of course the Feast of the Paschal Mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So it's if you go into the churches, you know, you wonder why the stained glass windows, they tell a story. The
artwork of
the iconography, the artwork and all that. It was because, you know, many people many, many, many years ago were illiterate. And so they would, you know, the Stations of the Cross, so you had very visual communication, a way of telling the story, you know, and through the prayer of the rosary as well. But those are just some examples. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I mentioned yesterday about the woman who was deeply devoted to Saint Therese of Lisieux, and I mean deeply devoted. She was a very, very close friend of Saint Therese. You know, you become friends to these saints, and she followed the little way of Saint Therese, which was what? But the way of Jesus, right? So the saints bring us to the Lord, and she died on the feast of Saint Therese of Lisieux.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, think of Pope John Paul II, his devotion to the Divine Mercy.
Yes.
Even promulgating or bringing, I should say, like resurrecting the writings of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, who was the first saint canonized in the Jubilee year, and he immersed himself in the writings, and he promulgated the Divine Mercy Sunday, mm-hmm. as Jesus had asked of Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, and his papacy was, you could say, it was one of the marks of his papacy was the Divine Mercy. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus said to Saint Maria Faustina that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for His coming, yeah. His coming, which is also appropriate as we're here in the season of Advent, because mm-hmm. it's not just remembering that Jesus came, but it's a reminder that Jesus will come again. And certainly the Lord is trying through this and is trying to remind us that He will come at the end of time, and it will be the time of judgment. We will be held accountable for what we did or did not do with the time that was allotted us, the little bit of time that we have in this world, in this life. And so, but Pope John Paul II dies on
the vigil.
The vigil. The Mass had just been celebrated mm-hmm. at the Vatican, at St. Mm-hmm. Peter's, in his apartment, at the foot of his bed.
Yeah.
The first Mass for the celebration of the Divine Mercy Sunday, and he died immediately after the celebration of the Mass. So, for us, these aren't coincidences. Mm-hmm. What do you call those?
God incidents.
God incidences, no? So, anyway. So that's, the Anawim goes back to the little flock, you know, those who keep the faith, who suffer the faith, you know, remembering what Pope Benedict said, that the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of the simple believers. Mm-hmm. Those are the Anawim, the poor of Yahweh. It would be the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, Anna and Simeon, and as I say so often, the gospel is rewritten in every generation. The only thing that changes are the people. And so we have to be, in our time, use well this time, and to be that simple people, keeping the faith, suffering the faith, but with our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord. And then beautiful things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I used to say the rosary before the evening Mass with Juanita, with Juanita.
Right, yeah.
And that was very touching because I don't know. I just really like praying the rosary with her.
Right.
She would do it in Spanish. I would do it in English, even though I learned how to do it in Spanish.
Right.
But I didn't want to take that away from her. But it was just great. And I can hear her voice
sure.
in my head every once in a while.
Yeah, that's interesting.
During the rosary, I hear her voice.
Yeah, but it was so nice during the feast of the commemoration of all the souls, when we have the altar with all the those who have died, those
yes.
who have passed on.
Sure.
And her smiling face was there.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that. So anyway, let's take a break and we'll
yes,
come back, and then you can.
Because we're gonna come. I have to say something about God incidents.
Okay, yeah.
There's another
okay,
one.
Okay,
so
all right.
Before I forget,
we can't wait. So we're gonna.
It's not for me. It's somebody that a listener, a loyal listener, told me. Yeah.
All right. Very good. So we will. We have a loyal listener.
That's yes. More than one.
One. More than one.
Tongue twister. Tongue twister. Right. All right, everybody. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. On AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I am Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to spend a holy hour for life at Divine Infant Parish,
where Father Loya will be the homilist, Friday evening, beginning at 7:30, December 12th, and be transformed. Also, be immersed in the sacred music of the Eastern and Western traditions sung by the Ecclesia Choir. A monstrance will be used, blessed by St. John Paul II, courtesy of the St. John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Society. The Holy Hour for Life, Friday, December 12th, beginning at 7:30. Divine Infant Parish, 1601 Newcastle, Westchester, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Welcome, Tony. What's your problem
thank
over
you,
there?
Thank you, Father. The show sounds very good. I was listening outside and trying to text Christina.
Yeah, because Christina wouldn't, she wouldn't go up, but she wouldn't get up and fetch you. I told her to go fetch you.
No, right. He had already told me. We had a deal already.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
After the first break, he yeah. I would
oh,
let
I
him
see,
in.
Okay. Yeah. All right, whatever.
But I did get here early, but it was good to listen to the show. It was good.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Welcome. It's good Monday.
Yes.
A little creepy out there, isn't it?
I like
creepy
it.
Monday.
This is my day. I like
it. Jerry, yeah, you like these
Jerry said it's creepy. Thinking about me, I'm creepy.
It suits creepy people, yes. Yeah. Us creepy people.
Anyway, not to, just so we don't lose our train of thought, you know, but anyway, welcome. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Monday. So you were another God incident.
Another God incident. Marky works. She's one of our loyal
she
listeners.
She works. I didn't know she works.
No, she sent me a mess. I couldn't pick up the phone because it's been busy. Mm-hmm. But you know that, Marky. I know you're listening. So, anyway, she sent me a message saying that she has a twin brother. She has a twin brother.
Just if she's listening, I want to tell her that I saw. I was looking at a blog, and I don't remember what it was, but she responded. I was watching that. There's Marky. You know, she's Marky. Yeah. She responded to one of those. You know, it was one of the blogs. You know what the blogs are, right? And so I read the article, the commentary, and then I was reading the commentaries, and she was there. So anyway, go ahead, Christine. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay, because I always do it to you.
I'm not that sorry anyway.
Yeah, we all know that. No. She had a twin brother. They were born.
Okay.
I don't remember your exact birthday, Marky. Jerry's right here. Marky. So I'm bad with birth dates. So they were born. Her brother's name was Martin. And she's Marky.
Oh, nice.
And so her brother was baptized on this day, and he passed away.
Today? On this day?
On this day. So she said, I just wanted to let you know that he's up there interceding for
us. But was
for
she baptized the same day or no?
He was ill.
Okay,
I
see, yeah. Well, then her birthday must have, she must be celebrating these days.
Yeah,
her
it was
birthday.
A couple of days ago.
Awesome.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't remember exactly her.
What kind of friend are you? Right?
No, my friends tell me you're terrible. You never call us. I'm like,
don't
I
remember
know.
Your birthdays? Women are supposed to, women remember birthdays and all that. But anyway, happy
your
birthday
mother.
To Marky. My mother remembers, she remembers everything, you know?
Hi, Steve, if you're listening.
Yeah. Steve's birthday was on the 24th.
Okay. Anyway,
November
happy birthday. Well, happy birthday to Marky and Steve.
Yes.
And to Martin as well. May God give him rest. You know.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that she had a twin. I don't remember that. Okay.
Martin.
Anyway.
So he's interceding
Martin
for all of us.
Wow. Exactly.
Asking for his intercession.
Well, you know, he's a saint, right? Because he was baptized and.
Yes. So that's a God incident.
Okay. Anyway, any other God incidences? No. Geraldine, you're a God incident. You are a God incident, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I think so. Anyway, today is a Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I have to share with you this because it's so beautiful. I was reading today. Let me just share this with you, and then we'll talk a little bit about the feast itself, or the however we're led, you know.
Yes.
This is it's Monday, but this is very beautiful. So just see if you can follow me. This is actually from the solemn definition of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Now, when we say Immaculate Conception, people ought to. Mm-hmm. It always happens. People think we're speaking about the conception of Jesus.
Right,
Jesus was conceived
mm-hmm.
by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in fact, the gospel reading is the Annunciation, so it is the conception of Jesus, but the celebration today, because we celebrate, when do we celebrate the Annunciation, the conception of Jesus, but 9 months before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
on March the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. When do we celebrate the Feast of the Birthday of the Blessed Virgin? On September
8th.
The 8th. So that's what? 9 months from today,
mm-hmm.
right? Am I right?
That's right.
September to October to November, exactly. So today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that Mary was conceived without sin in the womb of her mother, Anna.
but she was conceived by, she was conceived in the natural way. So it was the man and the woman, Joachim and Anne, came together as husband and wife, and in the marital act, you know, the Blessed Virgin was conceived, but was conceived without immaculate, without sin, without original sin. So you get the, you're with me there, okay? Yes. But anyway, I meant to bring the Roman Missal because I thought the prayers were so beautiful, because the prayers really speak to the deep meaning of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. But this is the first time I've actually read from the encyclical itself, from Pope Pius IX, when he defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception on the 8th of December in 1854. Now, people say, 1854. Well, did the Church just all of a sudden, she dogmatically declared the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but this was, let's listen to it and you'll see the beauty of it. I thought it was very beautiful. I hope I can communicate the beauty of this solemn definition, but because this is the Church speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Church, the Bride of Christ. You got to remember that the Church is a spouse to the Lord. So the Church writes, God ineffable, whose ways are mercy and truth, whose will is omnipotence itself, and whose wisdom reaches from end to end mightily and orders all things sweetly, having foreseen from all eternity the lamentable wretchedness of the entire human race which would result from the sin of Adam, decreed by a plan hidden from the centuries to complete the first work of his goodness by a mystery yet more wondrously sublime through the incarnation of the Word. This he decreed in order, speaking of God, this he decreed in order that man who, contrary to the plan of divine mercy, had been led into sin by the cunning malice of Satan, should not perish, and in order that what had been lost in the first Adam would be gloriously restored in the second Adam. From the very beginning and before time began, the Eternal Father chose and prepared for his only begotten Son a mother in whom the Son of God would become incarnate and from whom, in the blessed fullness of time, he would be born into this world. Above all creatures did God so love her that truly in her was the Father well pleased with singular delight. Therefore, far above all the angels and all the saints, so wondrously did God endow her with the abundance of all heavenly gifts poured forth from the treasury of his divinity, that this mother, ever absolutely free of all stain of sin, all fair and perfect, would possess that fullness of holy innocence and sanctity, than which under God one cannot even imagine anything greater, and which outside of God no mind can succeed in comprehending fully. And indeed, it was wholly fitting that so wonderful a mother should be ever resplendent with the glory of most sublime holiness, and so completely free from all taint of original sin, that she would triumph utterly over the ancient serpent. To her did the Father will to give his only begotten Son, the Son whom, equal to the Father and begotten by him, the Father loves from his heart, and to give this Son in such a way that he would be the one and the same common Son of God the Father and of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was she whom the Son himself chose to make his mother, and it was from her that the Holy Spirit willed and brought it about that he should be conceived and born from whom he himself proceeds. And indeed, illustrious documents of venerable antiquity of both the East and the Western Church very forcibly testify that this doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, which was daily more and more splendidly explained, stated, and confirmed by the highest authority, teaching, zeal, knowledge, and wisdom of the Church, and which was disseminated among all peoples and nations of the Catholic world in a marvelous manner. This is speaking about down through the ages how this has been. The understanding has been deepened deeply, in a deeper way, we understand this mystery. This doctrine always existed in the church as a doctrine that has been received from our ancestors and that has been stamped with the character of revealed doctrine. For the Church of Christ, watchful guardian that she is and defender of the dogmas deposited with her, never changes anything, never diminishes anything, never adds anything to them. But with all diligence, she treats the ancient documents faithfully and wisely. If they really are of ancient origin, and if the faith of the fathers has transmitted them, she strives to investigate and to explain them in such a way that the ancient dogmas of heavenly doctrine will be made evident and clear, but will retain their full, integral, and proper nature, and will grow only within their own genius, or genus, that is, within the same dogma, in the same sense, and the same meaning. Able to follow that? But the mysteries, you know, this is very beautiful about the church, how she delves more deeply into the central mysteries of our faith, because everything that's said of Mary and the Immaculate Conception is all points to the incarnation and the redemption that Jesus, God, would break into history and take his life from this woman in order that he would, what, but redeem us through the shedding of his own blood. Hence, it is clear and unanimous opinion of the fathers that the most glorious virgin, from whom he who is mighty has done great things, was resplendent with such an abundance of heavenly gifts, with such a fullness of grace, and with such innocence, that she is an unspeakable miracle of God. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, the crown of all miracles, and truly the mother of God, that she approaches as near to God himself as is possible for a created being, and that she is above all men and angels in glory. Hence, to demonstrate the original innocence and sanctity of the Mother of God, not only did they frequently compare her to Eve, while yet a virgin, while yet innocent, while yet incorrupt, while not yet deceived by the deadly snares of the most treacherous serpent, but they have also exalted her above Eve with a wonderful variety of expressions. Eve listened to the serpent with lamentable consequences. She fell from original innocence and became his slave. The Most Blessed Virgin, on the contrary, ever increased her original gift, and not only never lent an ear to the serpent, but by divinely given power, so by the power of God, she utterly destroyed the force and dominion of the evil one. As if these splendid eulogies and tributes were not sufficient, the fathers proclaimed with particular and definite statements that when one treats of sin, the Holy Virgin Mary is not even to be mentioned. For to her more grace was given than was necessary to conquer sin completely. They also declared that the glorious, most glorious Virgin was, I don't know how to say this word, reparatrix of the first parents, the giver of life to posterity, and that she was chosen before the ages, prepared for himself by the Most High, foretold by God, when he said to the serpent, I will put enmities between you and the woman, unmistakable evidence that she was to crush the poisonous head of the serpent. And hence they affirmed that the Blessed Virgin was, through grace, entirely free from every stain of sin and from all corruption of body and soul, and from all corruption of body, soul, and mind, that she was always united with God and joined to him by an eternal covenant, that she was never in darkness but always in light, and that therefore she was entirely a fit habitation for Christ, not because of the state of her body, but because of her original grace. Therefore, having full trust in the Lord, that the opportune time had come for defining the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, which Holy Scripture, venerable tradition, the constant mind of the Church, the desire of Catholic bishops and the faithful, and the memorable
acts and constitutions of our predecessors wonderfully illustrate and proclaim, and having most diligently considered all these things as we poured forth to God ceaseless and fervent prayers, we concluded that we should no longer delay in decreeing and defining by our supreme authority the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin. And thus we can satisfy the most holy desire of the Catholic world as well as our own devotion toward the Most Holy Virgin, and at the same time honor more and more the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through His Holy Mother, since whatever honor and praise are bestowed on the Mother redound to the Son. It's very beautiful.
It is.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
And that's not even the definition. The definition is, we declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine, accordingly, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for the honor of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Let me just read this. Okay, I'm going to start right over. This is the definition. Sure. Wherefore, in humility and fasting, we unceasingly offered our private prayers, as well as the public prayers of the Church, to God the Father through His Son, that He would deign to direct and strengthen our mind by the power of the Holy Spirit. In like manner, did we implore the help of the entire heavenly host as we ardently invoked the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Accordingly, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for the honor of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, for the glory and adornment of the Virgin Mother of God, for the exaltation of the Catholic faith, and for the furtherance of the Catholic religion, by the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord, of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own, we declare, this is the definition now, we declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the most blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful.
Mm. That's beautiful.
It's very powerful, isn't it?
It is. And the phrase that really caught me was sublime holiness.
Sublime holiness.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Father, where you, and one of the letters you wrote, you put that Mary is the new Eve.
Right.
And in Spanish, Eve is Eva. But then when we refer to Our Lady, it's Ave.
Ave.
It's the,
Ave.
It's turned around.
Exactly.
Ave.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? We'll look at that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll look at that. I had written that for the coming Sunday, because this is the week where we begin the week with the Immaculate Conception, and we'll end the weekdays with the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe. So I'll try to pull those two together. But it's a very beautiful statement, you know, and you can just feel the power of God's grace,
yes.
You know, and it shouldn't come as a, what should I say? Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll look at this and try to bring it down to communicate in a way that it makes it a little bit more understandable, if that makes any sense. Okay? So we'll be right back on this, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. How did St. Nicholas become the patron saint of sailors? Well, when I was a young man, I made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, visiting all the holy sites, including the humble cave in Bethlehem. During our return voyage from the Mediterranean seaport of Caesarea, a sudden, violent storm threatened the lives of everyone on board, reminding the passengers and crew how Jesus once calmed the Sea of Galilee. I invited everyone to join me in prayer to the Lord. Then, miraculously, the sea became calm. After our safe return, people started asking me to pray with them for a safe voyage. And so, that's how I became the patron saint of sailors, as well as the special friend of children during this joyous season, when we proclaim, Christ is born, glorify Him.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. This is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So I would lose you, but just the sound of the declaration, the dogma, the declaration of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. It's
powerful.
It's powerful. When I read it, I thought it was very beautiful. But the feast of the Immaculate Conception is, as we said, the commemoration of the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. And she was conceived without original sin, as the dogma states very clearly. It really expounds on it. But she was conceived without original sin by a singular grace of God. It was God's choice, God's grace given in what? But in anticipation of the coming of God in the flesh. So it wasn't because of who she was, but it was in anticipation of God coming in the flesh. Jesus, the incarnate God, took his flesh from that of Mary. I was thinking the other day, you know, how is it, and I've probably mentioned this before, but what we deprive ourselves of when we don't have a place for Mary in the life of the church, in our hearts, if she's just relegated to the pages. See, the thing about the gospel is the living word of God, living word of God. It's not a dead word. It's a living word of God. And as I say so often, the characters, the persons, let's talk about the Anoim, the remnant, the daughter Zion, the poor of Yahweh, those who were faithful, those who said yes to the will of God on our behalf, on their behalf and on our behalf. But they're not frozen in to the pages of the sacred scripture. But as Jesus is risen from the dead and alive and among us, so too, you know, this is what we have, relationship with the mystical body of Christ. We are members of the mystical body of Christ, but we have this relationship with the saints. And of course, as declared so beautifully in the dogma, Mary is above the angels and saints. She's a creature created by God in need of, you know, she had to be redeemed, as all of God's creation had to be redeemed, but by a singular grace of God and in anticipation of the coming of God in the flesh, Jesus, the incarnate God, who took his flesh from that of Mary. That just is awesome even to think that God took his flesh from her. But the key to understanding Mary's Immaculate Conception is proclaimed implicitly, the very implicit way, in the first words of the angel Gabriel to Mary in the Annunciation. And that's why we read the Annunciation on this day, which is the conception of Jesus, but we're celebrating the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The angel greets her with a new name, identifying who she is in God's plan for the salvation of history. Much as, if you remember, Abraham was given the name Abraham, Simon, the name Peter, Saul becomes Paul. The change of name signifies that person's unique and personal participation in the work of God towards what? The redemption of man. So Mary is greeted by the angel. What does the angel say? He doesn't, you know, as we begin the prayer, Hail Mary, full of grace, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb. Jesus. We're actually taking that right out of Luke's gospel, that prayer, the greeting of the greeting of the angel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin, and the greeting of Elizabeth to Mary in the visitation. So the angel says, but he doesn't say, the angel doesn't say, Hail Mary, full of grace. He says, the Lord is with thee. He says, Hail, full of grace.
Mm.
What is that? This is one of those, you can't translate the word from the Greek, for instance, hail, greetings, right? The word is, ke caritomene, hail, ke caritomene, the Lord is with thee. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. In other words, he's saying, you know, what does that signify? It's a name. He's greeting her, giving her the name, ke caritomene. How do you convey, how do you communicate in English what that means? It means, basically, the Blessed Virgin Mary is without sin. There's no impediment. There's no obstacle. There's no barrier to her receiving the fullness of God. Quite literally, right? Quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin is the impediment, you know, to varying degrees. When we sin, we block. It's just a block, you know. We don't open ourselves to the fullness of God's grace because we have sin. Now we're cleansed of original sin through baptism, through the waters of baptism, but we live always with concupiscence, you know, the sin of the flesh, the sin of the eyes, the sin of what do they call it? The three kinds of concupiscence: the eyes, the flesh, and the
mind,
maybe the mind, pride. I don't know. I'll try to find that. But
the will.
Maybe it's the sin. Will? Maybe the will. The pride. Yeah. Will. The will. Mm-hmm. You know. Perhaps I have to check that out. But
I think it is the will.
So what that does is it blocks, right?
Yeah.
That's why we wanna. That's why we should be disposed for purification, right? That we're being purged, to be transformed, to be sanctified. But Mary, on the other hand, was by the grace of God, free of original sin. So there was no block, there was no impediment. Mm-hmm. No, God came into the world. He breaks into the world through this new Eve, you know, the Immaculate Blessed Virgin Mary, because Mary was predestined by God to bear the Messiah to the world. So she was given that grace, free of original sin. Jesus takes his life from the Virgin of Nazareth, the purest of all creatures. And even so, and this is taking on our flesh, his divinity was temporarily constrained by the limitations imposed by his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So he will live with a longing for a return to the Father. And actually, we do too, mm-hmm. whether we're conscious of it
yes,
or not.
Yes.
Why is there this unrest?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, he longs for a return to the Father, but this will come when he who had no sin and came into the world through a pure channel, she who had no sin, takes our sin to himself in his atoning death. In essence, so as we're in this season of Advent, preparing for Christmas, the Christmas crib will give way to the cross of Calvary. His death will give way to the resurrection. His longed-for return to the Father will give way to the outpouring of God's Spirit, which washes away original sin, thus giving us what birth in Christ through baptism. So Mary's Immaculate Conception is a prelude to our being born anew in Christ. It's in preparation of our new birth, our being born anew in Christ. The Virgin of Nazareth is blessed and is fertile by the grace of God in anticipation of her life in Christ and in anticipation of ours as well. So that's what we celebrate today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because as we prepare for the celebration of the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, there's a very beautiful connection here, because in the Immaculate Womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary receives God, right? In the Immaculate Womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Womb of the Blessed Virgin receives God.
Mm-hmm.
in the flesh in order what? To bear life to the human race, the life of God to the human race. This is how he chooses to come to us. And this is even more evident, 1,500 years later, after the first Christmas, when the Blessed Virgin appears to the humble and the saintly Juan Diego, whose feast day is tomorrow. In Mexico. His feast day is all over, she came to him in Mexico, leaving the miraculous image of her appearance on his tilma. What would you call that tilma? It would be like a cloak or a... that he wore. And we'll go into the story later in the week as we come to the feast. But as a sign to the bishop, this image was left miraculously on the tilma of Juan Diego as a sign to the bishop and to all the inhabitants of the Americas, as she says herself, the Blessed Virgin, that she had come to birth Christ to the new world. She appears in the image as one who is pregnant with child, and she's asking what? But that a temple be built on this hill. And the symbolism is powerful because in the temple, Jesus is born anew to us and remains with us in the Holy Eucharist, right? That's that third coming of Christ, the coming in the interim, right?
Right.
He came, he will come again. In the meantime, he comes through the Eucharist, through the sacraments, but principally speaking through the Eucharist. And the temple on the hill of Tepeyac, as in churches throughout the world, is, you could say, a little Bethlehem. At the site of the miraculous image of Our Lady Guadalupe, what? I think it was 9 million Indians within a very short span of time were baptized and receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. So a whole civilization is born in birthing Jesus in the new world, quote unquote, a new civilization is basically born. So as I was writing this this letter about this, I was saying maybe this is just too much for people today to grasp. We think we're so advanced. We think we, but we kind of lack the humility, right? To pause and really to be at awe at the wonder of something beyond our ability to fully grasp. But it's really quite simple and it's really quite ordinary. Life is conceived and grows in the sanctuary of the womb, safely protected until the babe beholds the light of day. So the Marian feasts, midway into the season, Immaculate Conception and Guadalupe, the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, remind us that even God, mighty and all-powerful, honors the woman. He humbly will entrust himself to the sanctuary of her womb, that through her, the fullness of life is within our reach. So Jesus, born of Mary, is offered to you, to me. And the question is, do we dare humble ourselves receptive to the Virgin's gift that in calling God our brother, we call her our mother, you know? Because that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? So in view of our salvation, well, in view of her son, God in the flesh, and in view of our salvation, she... Anyway, I guess that means we're done. Is that it, Nick?
That's
we're out.
It.
Okay. Anyway, everybody, that's it. Okay, now I know. All right. Happy feast day. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see?